You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, researchers from the University of Otago released a report looking at substance usage amongst adolescents. The study found that rates of using alcohol, tobacco and cannabis among Kiwi teens peaked about 20 years ago and have declined rapidly since, but our adolescents are still binge drinking at higher rates than their peers in similar countries overseas. The team says we may be at a turning point, however, as long-term declines have actually been stalling or even going back up again in recent years, as well as the consideration of e-cigarettes have emerged as a new risk. I spoke to Jude Ball, who co-authored the study. I began by asking her about the details of her report.
So this wasn't a single study. It's a review that we've just published, which looks at trends in alcohol, tobacco, cannabis and other drug use over 20 years. So we've pulled together different data sources from New Zealand that have measured those things over time in school students.
What would you say was the most interesting finding within your study?
Well, I think there's quite a few interesting things to pull out. I mean, it presents quite a mixed picture. So there's good news in that the proportion of high school students that use substances is now much lower than it was 20 years ago. So that's good from a public health perspective. But on the other hand, vaping has increased dramatically in the last few years. And although the prevalence of binge drinking has gone down, New Zealand rates of binge drinking are still pretty high compared to other countries. And, you know, binge drinking is still the kind of dominant style of drinking for young people.
Yeah, now this has been the case since the late 1990s, early 2000s, correct? I'm reading here that that's when it peaked.
Yeah, so tobacco use peaked in the late 90s and alcohol use peaked in the early 2000s. And there's been quite a significant decline in both since then and in cannabis use. So it's important to note, I guess, that this study is, we're looking at adolescents, so, you know, high school aged young people. But some of the same patterns are true also for young adults, although not to the same extent. But there has been a decline in binge drinking in young adults as well.
Yeah, no, I guess your study would have mainly focused on adolescents. But do you think this high level of binge drinking, cannabis and tobacco use during adolescence would have definitely affected the usage of or during their young adult years?
Yeah, so we see some of the decline continues into young adulthood. So, for example, young adults are much less likely to use tobacco these days than they were 20 years ago. But binge drinking, cannabis use, they're still really high in young adulthood, even though there have been declines in drinking anyway. Cannabis use, I'm not so sure. I don't think we've seen declines in young adults. In fact, adult cannabis use has gone up in recent years.
Now, this compared with other countries, New Zealand is much higher within international standards and disparities within usage. Could you tell me a bit about this?
Well, New Zealand's not the only place to experience this decline in adolescent substance use. That's something that's happened across most of the Western world. So when we compare, say, drinking rates in New Zealand and overseas, they've declined everywhere, but New Zealand still has higher rates than, say, Australia, England or the US, which are the countries that we often compare ourselves with. So that means that, you know, there's still work to do in New Zealand in terms of prevention and evidence-based policy measures to protect young people from alcohol harm.
I guess the real question is, where do you start with that? You know, you literally go down the list, I guess, marketing, the alleviation of poverty, racism and marginalisation. Yeah, so I guess starting with marketing and availability, what do you think needs to change in that sector?
Well, there's a lot that could change in that sector. So particularly something that's been in the news recently is around alcohol marketing and sponsorship in sport, which makes alcohol brands so in the face of children, particularly Māori children. So there's studies showing that Māori kids are way more exposed to alcohol marketing because of that sports connection than non-Māori kids. So that's one really straightforward step, is just to ban marketing, alcohol marketing and sponsorship in sport, just like we've done with tobacco. Not hard, could do that pretty easily. In terms of restricting availability, you know, there's lots of things to do there, but one of the real concerns at the moment is around on-demand delivery of alcohol. So as I'm sure you know, there are lots of apps where you can order alcohol online and have it delivered to your door within a couple of hours, which, you know, that's not ideal in terms of harm reduction. And at the moment, we've got really no restrictions on that. There's no legislation or rules about that. So that's something that really needs to be thought about.
Yeah, and I guess the next thing is the alleviation of poverty.
I mean, a lot of young people, including high school students, experiment with substance use, and that's, you know, it's quite a normal part of growing up. And a lot of alcohol use isn't overtly harmful. But what we see when young people, you know, the young people who are likely to get in trouble with alcohol or for it to be really problematic in their lives, it's often because the context that they're using in, you know, makes it so. So alcohol use can be used as a coping mechanism or a way to forget about problems. And, you know, we really see that in communities where there is chronic stress from poverty and because of, you know, racism or discrimination more broadly. So that's what, you know, we need to think not only about what young people are using, but what's the context for use and how can we have a society in which young people are better supported and safer and happier, so that alcohol use isn't a coping mechanism that they turn to.
Yeah, and I guess that ties in with my next question about racism and marginalisation. Mm-hmm. How does this tie in with prevention acts, pretty much?
Okay, so we know from research that young people or people in general who feel marginalised or who are discriminated against have higher rates of substance use, including alcohol use. So that includes people who are at the receiving end of racism, and, for example, young people who experience homophobia or other discrimination that makes them feel, you know, that they don't belong. So again, drinking can be a coping mechanism, but unfortunately it's one that can be really damaging.
Now, like you said at the beginning, there has been a decline over the years. Does it look like this decline could continue?
It could. Yeah, so what we see is there has been a big decline in drinking since the mid-2000s among adolescents. But in the last 5 or 6 years, that seems to have levelled out. And some surveys even show an increase in hazardous drinking in recent years. So it's something we definitely need to keep an eye on. The evidence seems to be that the decline has plateaued out and may even be reversing. So we do need to keep a close eye on drinking rates and think hard about how to prevent drinking harm.
And I guess the same could be said for vaping with the emergence of vaping and how popular it is nowadays.
Yeah, it's really taken off, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Hmm. Sweet.
So, you know, like alcohol, I guess not all vaping is overtly harmful. For a lot of people, it's something they do, you know, briefly to experiment. But for those using high nicotine vapes, it's very easy to become addicted and, you know, it's much easier not to start than to try and break an addiction.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't mentioned?
I think the important thing to mention, you know, is that we have seen this decline in alcohol use. And although it's difficult to know the direct effects of that, there's evidence that it's had really positive effects. For example, there's been a big drop in juvenile crime over the last few years. And despite youth mental health problems increasing, there hasn't been an increase in suicide. So alcohol and suicide are closely related. So it looks like the decline in alcohol use may have helped to keep suicide rates at a similar level despite increasing mental health problems. So it does make a real difference to young people's health and well-being that we have got these lower drinking rates now. So hopefully we can, you know, put policies in place to further reduce alcohol harm in this age group.
That was Jude Ball from the University of Otago speaking about her report done on substance usage amongst adolescents in the last 20 years.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.